So tonight, our show is entitled How to Feel Good About Feeling Bad. Sounds like a weird title. Some people might say, why would you want to feel good if you're feeling bad? Why would you want to feel good? But sometimes you need to feel bad and like that. And so the reason I brought this topic up is because I know a lot of devotees sometimes feel bad, particularly because they don't feel like they're good devotees. They feel like pure devotional service is miles and miles away from where they're at. And they get discouraged. But sometimes they do devotional service for many years and they don't come to the platform that they thought they would be at that point in their life. They get discouraged. Or, they just feel maybe Krishna doesn't like them and he won't give them pure devotional service. I feel like there's no need in trying anymore. There's just too many contaminating thoughts, too much contamination inside. Might as well give it up. So, what would you advise them? What would you tell? If a devotee came to you and said that they felt like that, what would you say?
Well, when we feel bad, we become depressed, we become upset. But when we feel bad, we should feel, okay, look, I feel that I haven't gotten there yet. So I have to try harder. I have to try harder to reach that goal. I have to put more determination in. I have to keep working to that goal. I have to keep cleaning my heart until it's completely clean. And slowly, slowly, gradually, it will come. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes in his songs, "Oh, I am so fallen." But he didn't go into a state of depression. He thought, "No, let me increase my service. Let me try harder." And so we should have that same mood. But when we go into depression, it means we're most likely on the material platform. So we should try to raise it to the spiritual platform. Oh, I should try harder. I should try to clean my heart more.
Right, so in other words, you're saying there's two things are going to happen if you realize you become well acquainted with your faults. Sometimes when you're not practicing devotional service, you may not be as well acquainted. And as a devotee, as you're becoming purified, what happens?
As you're becoming purified, the qualities they'll come out.
So what qualities?
Hate, anger, jealousy. So many qualities that we think that we have, but it's just in the
It's like
gradual
we didn't
process.
know we had them.
Yeah, we didn't know
And we
we
had
had
them to that
them.
degree, or we confront them.
And we never saw them before, we never confronted them before, and it's a new experience for us, and we think, oh no, I have these qualities. But actually, almost it's a good sign because it means you're growing. It means these qualities are coming and you have to fight them. It means it's a test from Krishna to see really, can I give you bhakti? Are you ready for it?
So, as anything in life, when you're confronted with something undesirable or something difficult or something challenging or an obstacle, can take it two ways. You can give up, or as you're saying,
Or
or
you
you
can
can
keep
try.
trying.
Yeah, you can keep trying. Now, you're referring to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, of course, any of you have questions, Bhajasundari has all the answers, so you have to keep chat open. Roma says, Hare Krishna, Braja.
Hi, Krishna.
So, when a devotee is reading the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur,
We should.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says things like, he says things which are a little difficult to understand. For example, he's saying, when people are unhappy, it makes me happy. He's saying, in other words, he's saying, I like to see other people suffer because that means I'm better off than them. And then the devotee thinks, well, how do we understand that? And why is he saying that? He says so many things. I have no love. I have no bhakti. I'm just a wicked person. I'm a materialist. I just think about myself. Number one, how does a devotee relate to those? And number two, what does he mean when he's saying that? Why is he saying that? What's your take on it?
Well, one of the reasons he's saying that is because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's such a pure devotee, he's such a humble person, he has such a genuine character, that when you come to this level of prema bhakti, when you reach this stage, you manifest these qualities. And these qualities are not to be taken like, oh, he's feeling bad because he's not a good devotee, why is he doing that? No, these qualities are to be taken because they're such profound qualities in a different way than we experience them. He's experiencing them in a bhakti way with love. Oh, I really wish I had more love for Krishna. I'm so fallen. And he's experiencing divine love, and he thinks that he's insignificant, so he's trying harder, and he just gets so much love that he thinks, you know, I am not qualified. But this is almost a platform that we cannot understand, not right. Even I, you know, but we can just see how pure Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, how clean his heart is, that he can say these things and he will not go into a mood of depression, but he will feel more joyful.
I once, a lot of devotees think or understand that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying like this, he's praying as an example of how we should pray. But that question was asked to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, was Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually feeling that, or was he praying on our behalf? And Prabhupada said, no, he was feeling it. And I think the reason we can understand that is because for us, we can't imitate those feelings, because if we don't have them, it doesn't help to imitate them. We can't walk around saying, I'm more fallen than a worm in stool, I'm the most fallen, because we don't feel that way. And those feelings are a byproduct, as you're saying, of a very high state of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada is saying he's actually feeling that way. And what we understand, as you're saying, is that as a devotee advances, he feels that way. But when we feel that way, it's not a byproduct of bhakti, of Krishna consciousness, right? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it said that This deep level of humility is a byproduct of love of God. It actually describes it as the ornament of love of God. That's the ornament that you get. And you see these examples, particularly everywhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, you also see these examples of extreme humility, which you don't really see in this world. And our humility tends to come in more of a negative way. Oh, I'm so bad, and what's the humility based on? It's based on doing something bad. It's not based on doing something good. Yeah. And then, if that's not really transcendental humility, it could often be shame. It could be guilt and so forth. So, and then, like you say, then the devotee becomes could become discouraged.
He may feel like he is not useful, he's useless. There's this one story where this devotee said to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I took so many drugs, and don't drugs destroy the brain cells? And Prabhupada said, yes. So then the devotee said, well, that means I'm useless. What can I do? And Prabhupada said, use what you have left. So
Use the remaining brain cells. And so, whatever you have left. I know a few people, I don't think they took so many drugs, I don't think they had any left. But anyway, whatever's left, use it.
Use it in Krishna's service. Actually, we should use everything in Krishna's service. We should connect everything. We should connect this computer. We should connect everything in Krishna's service. How can I connect this computer to Krishna's service? Well, I'm helping you. I'm communicating with you. And it's a way for devotees to communicate, to keep in touch. And actually, in Krishna consciousness, friendship is important. How can, you know, any little thing like washing the dishes be connected to Krishna?
So there's another story where another devotee was telling Prabhupada that he feels useless, not because he took so many drugs, but because it's a natural feeling, you know, I don't have love of Krishna. So okay, I may have some material qualification, but if I don't have love of Krishna, I kind of feel useless as a servant of Krishna, or useless. And Prabhupada said, no, he said, everyone has something that can be utilized.
And also, if you think, oh, I have no love for Krishna, I have no love for Krishna, then no love for Krishna will come because you're thinking, oh, I have no love for Krishna. But if you think, okay, I will get love of Krishna. I just have to keep on going. I just have to keep on moving. And finally, one day I will get there.
Okay.
So, and that should be our hope. That should keep us going.
That's true. Okay. So that's confidence. That's there in the nectar of instruction. There's some patience. The problem is that after a long time, you don't see what you expected you would see. And the other thing is, big problem, is that the standards or the goals of Krishna consciousness are very, very pure. And there was an interesting conversation, and Prabhupada was, they were talking about devotees who have faults, and Prabhupada said that as long as you have this body, he said, and you're in this world, he said, you're not going to be perfect. So, you know, sometimes we become upset because we see others' faults, or in this case, we're talking about becoming upset because we see our own faults. And I think what's important to understand for a devotee is that it's normal to have faults. It's normal to be contaminated. That's just what we're dealing with. And Krishna consciousness wasn't meant for people who start out pure, because if you start out pure, you wouldn't have a material body because you wouldn't need one. The material body,
you wouldn't come here if you were completely pure.
Exactly.
You wouldn't be here. But also, you should try to see the good things. You should try to see the good qualities you have. You know, even if it's one quality that you feel you can give, you feel that you can have, then that will encourage you more and it will make you feel happier. Try to put aside those bad qualities that you think you have that are putting you into depression, that are putting you into jealousy, that are putting you into anger, that are making you upset. Try to put those qualities away and just think about the good qualities you have and try to use them in Krishna's service.
Okay, so you're saying, focus on what's good, focus on what's positive, and the negative, accept it as a reality of being conditioned. It's in other words, I think what's really important for everyone to understand is that whatever you're experiencing, which is negative in your own life, in terms of internally what's going on in your heart and mind, that it's normal. We all go through it, every one of us. We all deal with it. It's normal because as a conditioned soul, that's what it means to take birth in this world. That's what it means. So we can't be so surprised by that. But secondly, Braja and I were talking earlier, and she was saying that when you become purified, one of the things that happens is what? You become more acquainted with those qualities. You see them. Krishna shows you, because that's part of becoming purified. And then what can sometimes happen when we see them is we think we're going backwards because we're more conscious of them. Whereas before we were devotees, maybe we weren't. Or before we were making more advancement, maybe we weren't. So it can be discouraging because we're more aware of the bad qualities. And being aware of our bad qualities is actually a sign that we're advancing. It's also a sign of humility. And even if Oftentimes devotees are saying, I don't have any humility, which is in itself some symptom or some sign that they have it. Because,
and also, we have to accept that we have bad qualities. Once we accept that we have bad qualities, then it makes everything easier. Because we've accepted it. We're not stuck on the fact that I have bad qualities. But we've accepted it. We've let it pass. We've moved on. And now we're just focusing on what we really want and what our real goal is to serve Krishna with bliss, Ananda. And it shouldn't be sad. It can be sober. It can be serious. Because Krishna consciousness is serious, of course.
But what about, I mean, isn't there a place for some kind of sadness? I mean, maybe we're sad that people aren't becoming Krishna conscious. Maybe we're sad that the work we're doing to help people is not being appreciated by many.
For sure there's a place for sadness, but not a depression sadness. A different kind of sadness, a spiritual sadness, the sadness and separation of a Vaishnava. You feel bad because your work for your Guru Maharaj isn't good. That's a different kind of spiritual sadness, but still, we can't let that overtake us. Because even with that spiritual sadness, when it overtakes us, it makes us so morose and so sad that sometimes we can't come out of that state. There is a place and a time for sadness, but in general, Krishna consciousness should be happy.
Okay, so then sometimes we joke. We have, in the beginning of the movement, we'd make these mantra cards and say, chant and be happy. Then someone would join us, Khan. And after a while, they would confront all these problems and they would say, I need a card that says chant and be miserable because I'm not happy enough. So it seems like there's a stage, which Prabhupada describes, where you're not fully getting the bliss of Krishna consciousness and you're becoming more aware of the struggles of your bad qualities. And you can easily say, well, I've been chanting Hare Krishna and it's not making me happy anymore. So what do you say?
Well, you know, we just have to move on. And, you know, maybe you're not feeling ecstatic bliss. Maybe you're not crying. Maybe you're not dancing. Maybe you're not showing ecstatic symptoms of prema.
Not maybe, for sure.
Yeah,
okay. But?
But you're still chanting Hare Krishna. And gradually, Hare Krishna is chanting it. Krishna's dancing on your tongue. And then your heart is becoming pure. So gradually, after it becomes clean, and then we start to feel the bliss. Maybe in the beginning, maybe you've been chanting for 20 years. Maybe you've been chanting for 40 years. And you still don't feel it. But that means you just need to try harder. That means you just need to keep on going. And that means you shouldn't let any bad qualities come over you. Any sadness, any depression. Oh, I'm not feeling the bliss. I've been chanting for 40 years. What's going wrong? No, that should encourage us. Okay, I haven't gotten it there yet, but I have to keep going. I should try to get it. Today, tomorrow, every day should just be focused on your goal, trying to get it. And maybe not every second of your life can be focused on that, but try to connect everything to helping you get to that place.
Okay, so here's here's another important point, which is perhaps misunderstood. That sometimes we think, well, Krishna consciousness is always going to be very blissful, very fun. That's like a man and woman get married and they're hoping it's always going to be like their honeymoon or when they first got married or they first met, and it's not always like that. They have to deal with difficulties in life. And so Krishna consciousness also means
you have to deal with difficulties.
You deal with difficulties, you confront them, and it's in that if you're chanting or if you're going through some challenges, it may not be blissful, but there is not blissful in the sense that maybe you the way you would like it to be, but there is a bliss in the sense that, as Braj is saying, that you stuck it out, that you did it for Krishna. And
you feel proud that you did it. You did it for 10 years. You did it for 1 year. Yes, I'm doing it. And right. There may be obstacles on the path, you know. Maybe you go off the path. Maybe there is obstacles on the way. But we have to confront them. We have to get through them. We have to push. We have to show Krishna how much we really love him. And when we get through those obstacles, when we get through those difficulties, we are really showing Krishna that we love him. And we're getting through another test.
So that means...
getting closer to him.
Well, that means is... that means Krishna's giving us an opportunity through the difficulty
to show him how much we love him.
He's also showing another thing. Well, showing how we love him, or at least we want to, we're trying. But I think it's another important point, which is tolerance. Now, a lot of times we speak of tolerance, we think of tolerating other people. Like, you bother me, but I'm going to tolerate you, or I bother you, you'll tolerate me. But there's also the tolerance that we're talking here about, tolerating...
going through the difficulties.
Or the difficulties, but not only that, tolerating my own faults, my own inadequacies. And as you said, acceptance. So a huge problem for many people is just accepting that this is how I am. And how I am is a product of what I've done in the past, how I've thought in the past. So I can't really blame anybody or anything for how I am. And it's ironic that sometimes we're so upset with how we are when we are, in fact, the ones who've made ourselves like this. So who are you going to be mad at? We're the ones that, you know, through our past actions.
But we can't be mad at ourselves. We just have to tolerate it. Like I said, we just have to accept that's going to be the way it is, you know?
Yeah, acceptance. That's my point.
Acceptance.
Okay, so at least what I've seen through the years is that acceptance is extremely important, because what it does is like Braj is saying, okay, so you have some bad qualities, all right. But you don't allow that to discourage you. Somehow or other, you're able to deal with it in a way that you can remain enthusiastic in devotional service. And a big thing for doing that is accepting, okay, this is how I am. You actually realize through acceptance that if you don't accept, then you look at other people and you say, I want their karma, or I want to be like them, rather than, this is my karma, this is how it is for me now. So we become, in a sense, envious of other people's karma, and we become frustrated with our own karma.
Because we can't be like them. But what we can do is we can accept the way we are, and we can strive to be like them. They can be our role model.
That's true.
We can strive to have those qualities. We have to accept
instead of
that.
Being envious.
Instead of being envious.
Being inspired by
we
them.
Have to accept that we are not going to be like them, and maybe we'll never be like them. But we can try. We can strive to be like them. We can allow them to be a model for us.
Okay, I have something. Some of you may have heard this before. And I speak about this in the Japa workshops. And this is from a commentary, I believe, by Baladev Vidyabhushan. And he said that every living being has a unique relationship with Krishna. And within that unique relationship, Krishna tastes a different rasa from every single person. So whatever service we can render to Krishna, however we can come closer to Krishna, in any way we can relate to him, that is an offering which gives him some pleasure that he can only get from us. So in the sense of worthlessness, no, but everyone has some worth because everyone can offer that. And, another sense, which often happens, or many devotees feel, that Krishna doesn't need me, or maybe why would he even care about me? Because I'm not significant and I don't love him. And because Krishna is the father, he doesn't look at it that way, because the father loves all his children. So Krishna, even if you think that Krishna wouldn't want to love me or couldn't love me because I'm too fallen, That's impossible for Krishna because he can't not love you because he's the Father. That's just the way
Krishna
it is.
Loves everyone, despite their, you know, despite what they are. And he loves them for what they are, not for how they look like or how they feel. But he loves them for what they are. And we always have to remember that we are a part and parcel of Krishna. And, you know, we... And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you offer me a leaf, a fruit, some incense with love, just that one thing, right, then I will accept it, and that will start the whole path.
Okay, but then someone's going to say, I don't have love, I'm just in the stage of sadhana, I'm just beginning. So how do I manifest that?
Well, you try to give it with love. Krishna, here's a leaf. I'm really trying to give it with love to you. I don't feel that I have any love, but please accept this. I'm trying to give this leaf to you. Please accept it. And you ask Krishna to please accept it. Please give me this. I'm trying to please you. I'm trying to give this
please
to you. Please
it.
Help me.
Please
accept it. Please accept me as your servant.
So, So this is an important point because we have to look at what we can offer Krishna, what we have, as Braj is saying, not to look at what we don't have. So, okay, maybe I don't have love, I'm not pure, but what do I have? I have the sincerity, I have the desire, the desire to have the desire. One time Prabhupada said, the way we offer our food to Krishna is we beg him, like you're saying, we beg Krishna.
Please accept this.
Yeah.
Please accept this.
Exactly.
And
then, slow down. And then she's going to start doing the classes from now. I decided to retire. So, and Prabhupada said, you pray to Krishna. Krishna, what is the value of anything I have? It's not valuable, at least not to you. And even my body, it's not valuable to you. But I've come I've come to offer you this, so I'm begging you please accept it. So he said, so what we can offer in our stage is that's the love that we can offer. And we can offer our sincerity, we can offer our intention, our purpose. And I think it's really important because when we're looking at what's wrong with us, we forget that we do have those intentions. We forget those things are within us. Otherwise, if they weren't, we wouldn't be devotees. Now, something which is also significant is that Prabhupada did not focus on his disciples' bad qualities. He focused on their good qualities.
What they had.
Yeah. So, and he used to say, fan the flame, which he meant is that anyone who has any desire to serve Krishna, whatever it is, however it is, fan that, which means encourage them in their service. So that was Prabhupada's attitude. And the reason this is important to understand is because sometimes we don't treat ourselves the way Prabhupada treated us. We may treat ourselves very hard. We may be down on ourselves. We may even discourage ourselves. Oh, I'm not good. I shouldn't do this. We may lose enthusiasm.
But we have to remember that the reason we're here, the reason we're practicing Krishna consciousness started with that spark of desire, started with that spark of love. And so we have to know that we wouldn't be here if we didn't have those qualities. We just have to keep cultivating them until they grow bigger and bigger.
So... okay. So it's then we're really talking about a question of focus. And there's a statement that I've been teaching lately, because particularly when devotees become negative about something, sometimes it's about themselves, sometimes it's about other people, sometimes it's about life in general. And I've been telling them, focus on what you're for, don't focus on what you're against. Because oftentimes, we're against the bad qualities within ourselves. We focus on them, and we can become discouraged. Now, there's another side to it, though. because we have to recognize our faults. That's part of humility. But we have to do it in a way that's not discouraging. So that's a little tricky. Okay, I have to look at my faults. Okay, this is how I am. I have this fault or that fault. I have to be aware of it, because if I'm not, I can't work on it. You have to recognize it before you work on it, right? So again, it goes back to an acknowledgement and acceptance, and something really important that can help us. When we look at these bad qualities, we can become more dependent on Krishna if we say, Krishna, see, this is how I am. I need you to help me. So by acknowledging the bad quality, like Braji was saying with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's not becoming discouraged. By acknowledging the bad quality, it can, if done in the proper way, it can inspire a deep dependence on Krishna. Krishna, I cannot overcome this on my own.
Please help me. And you have that faith in Krishna. Krishna, please help me. And you try to depend on Krishna. And you show Krishna that you really want, you're really trying. You're really trying to serve him. And when he sees that spark, he takes 10 steps closer to you. When you Correct. Take one step to him, he takes 10 steps to you. And that's the amazing thing, because Krishna is so merciful. And he loves you okay. so much.
Here's a really good point. Very interesting point. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. He said, generally we think of mercy as just a gift, something undeserved, which is true. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, unless you make your most earnest efforts in Krishna consciousness, you won't attract the mercy of Krishna. And then without the mercy of Krishna, it's virtually impossible to be Krishna conscious. This is a topic for another court, another section, which and I've spoken about it before, the relation between effort and mercy, but it's relevant here. Because he's saying, by mercy, you'll be purified, but you won't qualify or attract them. Not that you really qualify for mercy, but in a sense, there is some qualification. A better word might be attract. So you attract the mercy by your effort. So it's like Bhante saying, if you become discouraged, your effort will go down. Your patience, your tolerance will all be minimized. They'll all decrease. And what you need to do is keep your efforts going, showing Krishna and praying to Krishna, showing Krishna your efforts, but praying to Krishna to help you with the particular obstacles that you are dealing with. Krishna, please help me. So that awareness of the fault makes you more dependent on Krishna and also increases your humility, because dependence is an aspect of humility. And then Krishna, he likes to come down and help his devotees, just like you have this example in the Bhagavatam of Draupadi, where she become very, very, very dependent on Krishna. But Krishna didn't come in the beginning. He only came when she called the third time. Why? You know why?
Because maybe he was testing her. Do you really have love? Are you really calling me? Or is this a joke?
Yeah, exactly. So,
and she was actually giving her whole heart, her whole soul, because at that time she was desperate. Like, we find ourselves in a situation where we really need Krishna's help, and we say, Krishna, please help us learn Sringati, please protect us. And that's when we really feel inspired, when we don't think about anything else, in a situation where we really need Krishna. Krishna, I need you! And you don't think about anything else because you're so desperate. And Krishna says, that's the mood I want. Just throw aside everything, don't think about it, and just love me. It doesn't matter how strict you are, but just love me. Give your heart to me, and I will help you because I love you.
Yeah, that's it. That's
and exactly. Krishna loves everyone. There's this thing where these kids, they wrote, Dear God, and one kid wrote, Dear God, I don't know how you can love everybody because I have trouble loving my mom and dad and brothers and sisters.
So, I mean, this is really important. If we're aware of a fault, and we use that awareness to increase our dependence, to pray more intensely. In that story with Draupadi, you know what happened. Krishna did not come until her third call. And she asked him why, and he said, because I didn't think you really wanted me. But the third time you were crying. So sometimes what Krishna does is he makes it a little difficult. Like Raj is saying, you really have to pray.
You really have to, you know.
Really have to get into it. So sometimes, sometimes what he'll do, he'll make something difficult because when it's a little difficult for us, it intensifies or it forces us.
It makes the love more deep, like when Krishna.
Well, it forces us to.
Yeah.
It forces us to pray more. Let me finish my thought. Next show she can talk. She's too enthusiastic right now. So, it's like Krishna's is not making it always so easy.
For sure.
Because then when something's difficult, Krishna, please help. So, in that way, if we look at our faults, our bad qualities, and we can see, well, how could I use those to become more Krishna conscious? How could I use those to become more prayerful, to help me increase my level of tolerance, or to even see them as in a positive way, in the sense that if there's an obstacle, it's a challenge, and then challenge means an opportunity to learn, to grow, an opportunity also to show Krishna that I dealt with it, that I tolerated it, that I was willing to confront it. And if we have that attitude, then it's certain, and Krishna even guarantees in the Bhagavatam that ultimately you'll become Krishna conscious, because you, as we say, the people who fail, the only people who fail are the ones that quit.
And also, when a situation is made easy, we often think, oh, we often don't give any thought to it. But when a situation is hard, as the love grows, as it intensifies, this is actually Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy showing us how much we depend on Him, and how much, when we love Him, how much He reciprocates. Like when we do some seva, or when we give something for Krishna, we get it, we feel, I don't know if you felt this before, but you feel so much. You're given such an opportunity. You're given so much love from Krishna, and you just feel it because that one small service you did for Krishna, and you just feel that love. It's just coming and coming to you, and you know, you feel so grateful. And then you don't think about any bad qualities that you possess. You're just so grateful. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you. And you become so joyful because you are getting so much mercy. And then immediately, when you become joyful, all the bad qualities disappear. Or at least from your memory, because you've accepted it and you're so grateful. And then everything becomes happy or sober or whatever in a good way. And then things start to speed up. And then you feel things, you know, moving towards. You start to meet nice devotees, you start to get opportunities for seva, and you just feel everything grow and grow, and it just feels so wonderful. But sometimes what discourages people is that they have this amazing stage where everything just comes to them, and then it's like, you know, nothing happens. And then people think, oh no, what happened? You know? What happened to me? You know, like, what happened? Do I not have love for Krishna? And then the bad qualities start to come again. So it's very important, maybe during a time where we are not receiving as much mercy as we want, to still stay happy, to still stay strong, and to still accept that we have these bad qualities, but to put them away.
So,
is that clear?
Yeah, that's clear. I mean, the main message that I felt for this, from my own experience, is the ability to accept on the basis that Prabhupada was so accepting. And a lot of times devotees have difficulty because bad things they've done in the past are just accepting the fact that that's how they are. And I always tell them, Prabhupada is more accepting of you than you are of yourself. And if he's more accepting, then you should, it would be wrong to not accept in yourself what Prabhupada accepted. And Prabhupada was willing to engage all of us without discrimination, without discouragement. Of course, he'll correct us, but correction is necessary.
Prabhupada, he would accept anybody, you know. He didn't look at their qualifications. He didn't look at what they, you know, had, you know, what their bad things were. But no, but he looked, he looked at what they had now, and he looked at the potential. This person could become such a great devotee. And that's how he kept everybody going.
Well, also, actually, if you want to study it from a more philosophical level, he was always trying to give everyone mercy, because he knew if they had mercy, which was his instruction, his kindness,
they would feel good. They would feel happy.
They would ultimately, that's how they would advance. So part of the process is the spiritual master shows mercy in the form of his instructions, his encouragement, his kindness, and so forth. And in the same way, the devotee continues that by showing himself the mercy that his guru gave him, by hearing those instructions, applying those instructions, and encouraging himself the way the guru encouraged him. Because sometimes we can be very discouraging to ourselves. Like here you have Prabhupada trying to encourage a devotee, and then the devotee's saying, no, the devotee's talking to himself, oh, I'm not really qualified, I'm not capable, etc., etc. But Prabhupada is never saying that. So, in a sense, it would be a disservice to Srila Prabhupada to go against, well, as a simple example, if Prabhupada tells you something, you wouldn't go against it.
So similarly, said, like, you're good.
Yeah, so that's it. If he says you're good, don't say I'm not good. Say if Prabhupada says I'm encouraged by your service, don't allow yourself to be discouraged. And even today, even though Prabhupada's not here, if you allow yourself, if you remove these blocks, you can experience that Prabhupada's pleased with even a little service, anybody did. It's not like Prabhupada's like an ordinary person where he's evaluating you based on your education, your knowledge, the external factors of your service. Of course, if you do something well, obviously he's pleased. If you're qualified in a certain area, he would put you in that situation. But it wasn't, he never said, oh, here's a big devotee. In fact, he would have to educate us and say, don't think that because you have a position, now that means you're a big devotee. That was always clear.
Also, to help us feel inspired, is we give the instructions of the spiritual master to others. And that also helps us think about what the spiritual master has said to us. And that also helps us to inspire ourselves and inspire others. And when we see other people who were suffering become happy, then that makes us happy. And we are helping them. By us helping them, we're making advancement and they're making advancement. And Krishna's helping both of us. So it's a win-win situation and you can stay inspired. And, you know, maybe you feel like, oh, I'm not qualified to talk to them. But Krishna will inspire you to help them because you want to help them. And so Krishna will allow you to feel inspired.
You know, that's a good point. But also, in addition to that, or another aspect of that is, sometimes when giving Krishna consciousness to others, they will ask you questions about how to deal with problems. And the problems that they're asking you about are the same problems you're dealing with. So now you have to teach somebody else how to deal with the very problems that you're dealing with, which obviously is an interesting position to be in, because in preaching to them, you're actually instructing yourself. And often what it does psychologically is make you feel obliged to do what they said, what you said, they should be doing. And additionally, another point about preaching is that it takes the focus off your own problems in yourself, and it puts the focus on helping other people's problems. And a lot of times, like you're saying, you know, in a very blissful situation, you don't really notice your problems. Like during a
kirtan.
Kirtan, you know, everybody's dancing, everyone's ecstatic. You kind of forget. And similarly, when you're helping another person, when you're trying to give them Krishna consciousness, there's always this tendency to forget yourself. And so if we become too absorbed in our own suffering, it's not a good sign, because ultimately we should be absorbed, so to speak, in the suffering of others, at least awareness of it, and have a desire to help them, because that absorption is, even though it seems like it's negative from our perspective, it's actually a positive.
Also, like when you have to, somebody asks you a question and you're going through that, then you might be like, well, why is Krishna putting me in this situation? Why do I have to deal with this? But actually, maybe it's helping you, because you have to personally reflect on it. You have to think about it. You know, why? How can I help this person? And oftentimes, you forget that you have the problem. And then when you tell them, then you realize, oh my gosh, it was so simple, but I just didn't realize it because I was so engrossed in, oh, I have this, oh, I have that. But when we forget about it and we're actually trying to help someone, and me and you have the same problem, and I'm telling you about the problem, then I realize it was so simple. I just have to forget. I just have to accept that I have those qualities. And for me personally, you know I have those qualities, but I would rather, you know, I'd rather not have them. But, you know, I'm not thinking about it 24/7, oh, I have this, oh, I have that, oh, I have this, oh, I have that. Because it just puts me in a position where I feel so bad.
Okay, there's another discussion that comes up often, is that sometimes the devotee feels like, well, if I don't have much of Krishna consciousness, then how am I going to give it? And Prabhupada's method was, give what you have and you'll get more.
So,
we can talk about her question in a minute. So, if you feel like, well, I don't have much, okay. If you have more, you can give more, but you have Krishna's knowledge, you can give that, even if it's not fully realized. But the point is, by giving more, you get more, and whatever you teach, you tend to become. So if you've it's really interesting. If there's something that you feel lacking in your life, it's very good to teach it. Let's say, for example, you feel a lack of determination. Then it's very good to teach others about how to be determined, or whatever it is, because you'll tend to become and become absorbed in what you're teaching. So that's a very positive thing. So let's say, for example, you're finding, you know, you're discouraged by some fault you have. Teach how to overcome that. Teach how to deal with it.
Also, like, we can't teach something that we don't practice. And there's a story how a mother took her son to a yogi, and she said, please tell him to stop eating sweets. And
Mahatma Gandhi. She took him to Mahatma Gandhi.
And so Mahatma Gandhi said, okay, come back in a week.
No, you can teach what you don't practice, but it won't have the...
But it won't have the same impact.
Power. Yeah, yeah.
So he said, okay, come back in a week. So they came back in a week, and he said to the boy, don't eat sweets. And the boy said, okay. And the mother said, I've been trying to tell him that, but why does he listen to you? And he said, before...
No. He said, why didn't you tell him last week? You made me come back a week later.
He said, because I also like sweets, and I could not tell him to not eat sweets if I were eating sweets.
So he stopped eating sweets for a week, and then he told him.
Yeah. And so then it had the impact on him.
So then it's a good example that, like in this example, if you're dealing with an issue, and then you realize, well, how can I help somebody if I still have the problem? Then the teaching of it
becomes
an impetus to overcome it, because you know you might feel some guilt to teach something that you don't actually practice. So you think, well, I'm teaching this, I should practice it. Okay. So Pallavi has a question. We talked about focusing
on our good qualities, but if we have,
but what if
someone doesn't see any good qualities in oneself? I don't mean in a negative way. On the contrary, if one feels like he has turned into this horrible person who has so many faults, guess what I'm asking is how to find those qualities, let alone focus on them. Well, if we first of all, the first step is we really, really have to accept. I am a conditioned soul. I have bad qualities, and there's nothing we can do about that. And so once we accept that, everything becomes easier. And, well, we have to think. Have I done anything nice for anybody? Do I do something nice for anybody often? And if you do, yes, you have compassion. Have I been humble before? Think about it. And if you say yes, that doesn't mean you're not humble, but... Okay, look, I was humble before. I should try to become more humble like I was. Or I was compassionate once. I should try to become more compassionate like I was that time. Or
I was happy that time. The point also is, in this question, there's a complication there. Because the paradox is that we don't want to be negative, and we're saying, well, acknowledge what is good in you. And then Pallavi saying, well, I don't see the good. But someone might say, well, I do see the good, but then I could become proud of the good. And what is that good? And is a devotee meant to see that good? And so,
in a different way.
So there's a couple of ways of looking at that. I mean, there's two ways. One is we're trying to develop humility. The other is objectively we have to see whatever it is positive that we can offer to Krishna, and that we're offering. At least we're doing something. I think most important is the devotee's sincerity, because that's what brings us to Krishna consciousness. That's what keeps us in Krishna consciousness. So one devotee asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I don't know if I'm sincere. And Prabhupada said, well, you should know if you're sincere. And Prabhupada, you know, always, of course, encouraged us to be sincere. So if you find any sincerity within you, any desire, and it must be there, otherwise you wouldn't be a devotee, then that's something that you can focus on. And it's something you can acknowledge about yourself. Okay, I'm trying to serve Krishna sincerely. I'm doing something, trying to serve my spiritual master. Maybe not so well, maybe not so perfectly, but at least I'm trying to do something. And so you give yourself a pat on the back and say, hey, good, I've done that. Yes, good, I'm going on. I'm still trying. Okay, maybe I'm failing, but I'm still trying. You pat yourself on the back. Way to go, Braja. Hare Krishna. You're still... You got up. You're still going on.
You're still doing it.
You still have some... There's something there that's pulling you. And potentially, of course, we all have the 26 qualities of devotee. They're there. And something, I think... One time there was a story... Prabhupada's servant, he was traveling with Prabhupada, and he was talking, he was glorifying the devotees and saying how nice they were. And Prabhupada was acknowledging that, and he said, yes, all the devotees are so nice. So just the fact that anyone's a devotee means they're nice in some way. They want to serve Krishna. They're, you know, Prabhupada used to glorify the devotees. He said, look how much These devotees are giving up. They could have so much. Devotees could have so much material facility, and they're not trying for it. They're giving it up to do devotional service. So there's a. It's necessary to have. Okay, this is. I'll go about it through the back door. Prabhupada talks a lot about spiritual suicide, which is a form of neglect of taking advantage of what Krishna's giving us in terms of the instructions we get from Guru and Shastra, and how we're guided back to him. And if we don't take advantage of it, Prabhupada would say, well, that's spiritual suicide. So the opposite of suicide, you know, atmaha, killing of the soul. So the opposite of atmaha, soul killer, would be to nourish the soul. So you have the example of the creeper of bhakti comes in a form of a seed, then you water it with hearing and chanting and seva and so forth. So the service that we do, the chanting, particularly the japa, is a self-nourishing process. So we're nourishing ourselves. We're loving ourselves. So there has to be that element in devotional service in the condition we're in of some form of recognition. Yes, I'm sincere. Some form of recognition of nurturing through these practices. I'm nurturing my creeper. I'm showing affection to my soul. It's my duty to my spiritual master to get out of the material world, so I have to take care of myself. So these things they have to be within a balance. And the problem is that the kind of humility that we are developing is not fully manifest. So it has to be in proportion to the realizations we have. And some of the realizations we have are very much conditioned by our psychology. And if we try to have the realizations of higher devotees, as we're saying, without understanding or without having the foundations behind those realizations, it can have very negative effects. So there is this aspect of self-encouragement. And we want to ask you, if you have any more questions, please ask them, or comments. So,
yes, please.
You know, self-encouragement sounds maybe antithetical to bhakti, but like Braja was saying, you know, when you serve Krishna, you get some confirmation that Krishna's pleased and that I've done something of value, because you can't go on in your devotional service thinking, oh, I'm completely worthless. That's a very high realization. That comes in a higher stage. But when we have that realization, I'm worthless, it can actually destroy our bhakti. Whereas in a higher stage of Krishna consciousness, when you have the feeling I'm worthless, that's what nourishes your bhakti. So that's what we're saying. According to your realization, your stage of bhakti, one realization, which is a byproduct of a higher devotee, can become a very negative thing for someone who doesn't actually have that realization. So then I'm feeling, oh, I am unworthy. Why go on in my bhakti? Whereas a higher devotee's feeling, I'm so unworthy, that it's enthusing his bhakti because he wants Krishna so much and he feels so unworthy to get it. But he can't stop himself from going to Krishna. We can easily get stopped from going to Krishna in our present condition.
Because, you know...
Is that clear? Everybody? Yes. That's what I wanted to say tonight. And I said it.
we put aside the bad qualities and we feel like, well, I don't have any good qualities, we have to try to take them out. You know, we have to see that I wouldn't be here. Krishna wouldn't have given me mercy if he wasn't pleased with me. And we've pleased Krishna with some quality. Although Krishna doesn't look at us, you know.
Well, you just please Krishna just by chanting Hare Krishna.
Yeah,
pleased.
He's
you don't have
happy.
To do a lot.
He's happy when you do the smallest thing for him.
So the problem is, sometimes we're doing service and Krishna's pleased with it, but we think he's not, and then we become displeased. Now, that was my whole point of saying that Prabhupada was always encouraging, and we should understand bhakti from his point of view. Otherwise, we can often have a negative mentality and become very discouraged in a situation where Prabhupada would not be discouraged with us at all, or our spiritual master wouldn't be discouraged with us either. It's, of course, if we do something wrong, we feel discouraged, feel remorseful. That is also good, because remorse is a correcting process. Or feeling guilty is an acknowledgement of our fallen condition But Prabhupada's point of view was always that you rectify by positive action. You don't just remain handicapped. Oh, I did something wrong. Okay, you did something wrong. Acknowledge that. How will you correct that? How will you move forward? So that was always Prabhupada's attitude. And our attitude sometimes is, I did something wrong. Why should I move forward? Or it's not right. I failed my guru. I failed Krishna. I shouldn't move forward. And Prabhupada's point was, you always move forward. It's a self-bhakti, is a purification, a process of purification, of self-rectification. And that's how it works. It works by learning through mistakes and continually moving forward with the hope, even if the hope is against hope. And you'll find in the higher stages of bhakti, when devotees express hope against hope, what they're expressing is that Krishna is so attractive that I want him so much that I don't even care that I'm not qualified. It doesn't matter anymore.
Just because I have desire.
Yeah,
you have. You want him so much.
Exactly.
And when Krishna sees, you know, maybe you don't have compassion, maybe you don't have love, but, well, of course you have love for Krishna, but when Krishna sees that you really want him, he doesn't take anything else into consideration. Because he sees you've thrown aside everything. You're not thinking about it. But you're just trying to give yourself to him. You're just trying to say, Krishna, please accept me. And when he sees that effort, that small, humble effort, he is happy. And like my dad was saying, sometimes we think, oh, Krishna's not pleased with me. But we have to think by different things that come our way. This is Krishna's mercy because he is pleased with me. And you might think, oh, Krishna's not pleased with me, and you just get stuck. Krishna's not pleased with me, and you get stuck in that place. And so, but we, like, it's like a bad quality. You have to come out of it, and you have to realize,
so the bad
you have to be aware that
the bad quality becomes not the bad quality, but how you deal with the bad quality.
Yeah, you have to be...
That's the point. Good point. You got it. You said it. That's enough.
But you have to be aware that the good qualities are coming, because if you zone off and, oh, Krishna's not pleased with me, then you won't see Krishna's love. But if you say, oh, there's Krishna's love, because you're open to see where it's coming from.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, because it may come... And if you're in a negative state, you don't even see it. You don't appreciate it. And it goes right by you, and you miss it just because of the wrong attitude. Okay. So Roma says, I don't have a question, but I'd like to say that it's so nice to hear from you, Braja. You really are such an inspiration. I have been struggling a lot myself lately with my bad qualities and feeling upset about those. But now I feel happy that Krishna would be happy with me with a tiny little service I may be doing for him and for my spiritual master. Greg, thank you for the words, Prabhu, and you too, Raja. Hare Krishna. So, it's 9:07 in Alachua, and it's about 3 o'clock in England, and time for Roma to go to sleep. And if anyone has any questions,
please let us know.
We'll just wait for a moment if you have any questions or comments. Otherwise, we will end, but I think significant point has just come up that as often it's not the bad quality that is the problem, it's how we deal with the bad quality that becomes a problem. 108. You said a few minutes ago, we can only give what we have, but if we give, we'll get more. But if we currently have next to nothing, what can we give? And when we have next to nothing, why is it we want to give? And what about the duplicity then that arises, not only in the sense of preaching, also generally giving what you don't have and sometimes ending that emptier. So it's a very good point. So I was making the point that, well, let me go back a little further beyond before the point I made, is that Prabhupada asked all his disciples to begin spreading Krishna consciousness, and from the beginning practically. And so you could say they didn't have much to give, but they had Prabhupada's words to give. That's for sure. And
maybe
they also knew, excuse me, she's very enthusiastic, but she's going to have to let me speak now. They also knew that the devotees knew something more than the other people. So although you don't have much to give, you think you don't have much to give. She didn't get discouraged, she just has to go to the bathroom. You... you have something more than they have. And so it's, you know, in a sense, there's duty there. But it's also a sadhana. Giving Krishna consciousness is not just, well, I'm not going to give it because I don't have it, and I'm just going to sit at home and mope and grope and be morose because I don't have it. But it's also a sadhana to give Krishna consciousness. And if we're on this platform where I don't have anything to give, then I shouldn't give it, then we miss the opportunity to become purified. And secondly, it becomes an impetus to have what you're giving, or to not necessarily have it fully, but to exemplify what it is that you're giving. Because, as I said again, if you just convince yourself you don't have it and just sit at home and mope and grope, then what's the point? You know, nobody gets it and you don't benefit. So, of course, if you have more, you can give more. But then you say, I don't have anything. Okay, here's a book. Here's Srila Prabhupada's book. Here's his lecture. Here's his words. This is what he told me. And I tell somebody else. So that's how Prabhupada trained us, right from the beginning. So he never really said that. I mean, you might say it in a theoretical sense, you can't give what you don't have. That's true. So then give what Prabhupada had. Give what someone else had. You can do that. So, everybody wants to continue. I have to continue about something. This is just the history of ISKCON. And later on in ISKCON, people would say, okay, you know, what are you giving? You know, because, okay, you could say Prabhupada was giving love of Krishna. He had it. And that's how everything spread. But we were giving Prabhupada's books. We were giving his words. And then Prabhupada said, speak whatever realizations you have. And he said, guru means one who knows more than someone else. So, 108, you know something more than probably 99% of the population of the world. And then you might say, but I don't follow it. Then I would say, okay, to have potency, you should follow it. And so if you go out and teach it, it may be what you need to help you follow it, because you'll feel that you want to help people and you'll feel that I can better help them if I follow what I myself am teaching and if I can be an example. Because ultimately, you know, the real training of people when they want to become Krishna conscious is through our example, through Sangha. That's the way people advance. So, Shane 108, we have two 108s. One 108 and one Sharne 108. Hare Krishna Prabhu, hello to both of you. Sorry, I don't know your daughter's name. Her name is Brajasundari, which is the name of Radharani, and also the name of the gopis, the beautiful women of Braja. However, I wish to express how very inspirational she is. Thank you, young lady. I've enjoyed listening to you this morning from Australia. What time is it in Australia? About 12 hours or so. Thank you very much, Mataji. My name is Brajasundari. Yes. Everybody. Now, Braj, everyone's going to want to meet you. So they're going to buy you air tickets so you can come to their temple and give the classes and inspire everyone, especially. You can inspire both the young and old, because your realizations are grounded in reality. They're just something that you have deep within you. So Pallavi is saying, is it possible we could have this class more than once a week? Bhagavan says, I enjoy listening. It may be possible. Let me think. Maybe we'll let Braja give one and I'll give one. We can do it separately. Braja, please come to England soon. So Braj is accepting tickets now. You can email her at davidasi13@gmail.com and you can arrange and she'll come. And of course she's in school in Mayapur now. I told her when she is out of school, when she's older, then she can travel the world with me. And then maybe we can arrange on the way to India. That would be nice, that Braja and her mother can come, because I will be coming later, and we will also try to come. Okay. Well, maybe classes. If we want to do another
Tuesdays
class,
and Thursdays.
No, it would have to be like Sunday morning. Maybe I'll be. I may be possible. I can do them Sunday morning, which would be better for Roma. So we'll keep you posted. That's possible because sometimes I'm busy on the weekends, but Sunday mornings about 8 o'clock, I'm usually free. And what I'm intending to do is, when I'm giving classes elsewhere, as I did in Israel, I will try to broadcast them. We had problems with the internet. Next weekend, not this coming weekend, but weekend after, I'll be doing some programs in the evening. And so I can broadcast those and let you know. And then perhaps Sunday morning.
Yeah.
India, well, Braj will be in India around Radhastami, and I'll be around a month later. And you'll be in Vrindavan in September, and there's a devotee that's begging me to come to Vrindavan in the fall.
Who?
It's a devotee from France who's going to be in Vrindavan. And I told her I would come. So maybe we will see you there. Okay? I am totally off schedule. And it's amazing that I'm even awake now. It was amazing I even stayed awake the last hour. So thank you all for attending. I hope you can go on enthusiastically. 108, you're welcome. And just trying to represent what Prabhupada taught us. And that's what he taught us, and that's how he taught us. And both things is everything's a balance. So it's not that you don't need to have what you're giving, but you get more of it by giving it, and the more you have it, the more it will affect people. So they work together, and sometimes, and Prabhupada would say, well, actually, we're not preaching, but we're helping him preach. So he's the one who had it, and we're introducing him to others, and we're just helping explain what he taught. And that's our success. And he said, my success is I follow my guru. So that's the way it works. Sneha lives in Pune. We have the whole world watching us. Sneha, it's now. What time is it, Sneha? About 6:40 in the morning. Okay, so I think we'll sign off. Thank you all for coming. We'll keep you in touch. And next Tuesday, maybe a challenge. I will keep you posted. I'm going to be in New York and busy. And if I can get someone to help me doing what I'm doing, then I will be free. And I think I will have someone who will help. And nice, Carol, that you're back. And Carol, I'm going to be in Dallas, tentatively, the weekend of August 17th, to do a Japa workshop. We'll get to meet. Wonderful. Okay, Hare Krishna, we'll see you all next time.
Beep.
Dr. Krishna.